The following program is recorded content created by the Truth Network.
It's Matt Slick Live. Matt is the founder and president of the Christian Apologetics Research Ministry, found online at carm.org. When you have questions about Bible doctrines, turn to Matt Slick Live for answers. Taking your calls and responding to your questions at 877-207-2276. Here's Matt Slick.
Welcome to the show, everyone. It's me, Matt Slick. This is the Matt Slick Live. It is July 16th, 2021 for the podcasters. If you want to give me a call, all you got to do is dial 877-207-2276. I want to hear from you. Give me a call. And let's see. Oh, yeah, I was going to say, someone's already calling in about it. We had an interesting Bible study last night. I taught on eternal security. And afterwards, so we had some discussions, and apparently people really enjoyed the discussion. I talked to a guy for about an hour and a half, 2 hours, and people stayed here at the study till like midnight, you know. And so if you saw that, if you want to kind of ask questions or comment about it, I'd love to hear from you. I think it'll be interesting. And so we have four open lines. Give me a call, 877-207-2276. Let's get right on there with Patrick from Charlotte, North Carolina. Pat, welcome. You're on the air.
Hey, how you doing?
Doing all right, man. Hanging in there. What do you got, buddy?
About the Bible study last night, you had mentioned a group of people that Jesus chose. Who was that group of people?
Oh, okay. Yeah, God chose the elect. It actually is kind of a redundant term. To choose is to elect. And God elected people or chose them for salvation. And a lot of people just flat out deny it. They say, no, God would not do that. Let me go to 2 Thessalonians 2:13. But we should always give thanks to God for you, brethren, beloved by the Lord, because God has chosen you from the beginning for salvation. 2 Thessalonians 2:13. And if you go to Ephesians 1, verse 4, it says, just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we be holy and blameless. So it's the choosing of God or the electing of God for people for salvation. There's the scriptures. That's what it is.
Well, what about the apostles? Didn't he choose them as well?
Of course, God did. Absolutely.
So, in John 6:37, could he be speaking about the apostles that he chose and they came to him?
No. Not just the apostles. Okay, a lot of people say that in John 6:37, all the Father gives me will come to me. But if you read the whole thing, it says, this is the will of him who sent me, that all he's given me I lose nothing but raise it up in the last day. For this is the will of my Father, that everyone who beholds the Son and believes in him will have eternal life, and I myself will raise him up in the last day. So he's talking about everybody. Okay?
But according to John 6:70, he himself, Jesus, says, wasn't it you, the 12 I chose?
Yes, he did. But I'm telling you, the context there in John 6:37 through 40, Jesus says, everyone who beholds the Son, in verse 40, that's not just the disciples. Furthermore, in verse 35, which is a few verses earlier, I'm the bread and the life, or I'm bread of life. He who comes to me will not hunger, and he who believes in me will never thirst. So he's saying, he who comes to me, he who believes in him. And then just in five verses later, that everyone who beholds him will have eternal life. It's not just about the disciples. Okay?
Well, then if it's everybody, that would be every human being, not just the elect.
No, no. I was giving you the response to the idea that the ones given to the Son by the Father were just the apostles. The ones
yeah,
who were given...
I think you misunderstood the scripture, thinking it's the elect, but it's the apostles. Patrick, hold on.
I'm showing you that that pericope is not just the apostles. I just showed
yeah,
it to you.
That's your point of view. That's wrong.
Okay. Well, it says in verse 35, John 6:35, he who comes to me will not hunger. He who believes in me will never thirst. Is that just the apostles?
Well, no, that's everybody, every
okay.
human being, not
then,
just the elect.
Then, let me keep reading. But I said to you that you have seen me, and yet you do not believe. All that the Father gives me will...
Him.
Patrick, can I continue to read the scriptures here? all that the Father gives me will come to me, and the one who comes to me certainly will not cast out. Who's the all that the Father gives to Jesus?
It's in Mark 3:13.
Okay, who's the all who the Father gave to
this? Well, read Mark 3:13 and you'll see.
Okay, Patrick, I'm ready to hang up on you. I don't want to do that. But I'm asking you questions, and you're ignoring. I'm asking you. We're looking
at
John.
But I'm going to answer it in Mark 3:13.
Okay. I'm asking you, okay?
Can you read Mark 3:13?
All right. We're going to move along. What I've done, folks, was just ask him to look at the actual words that it actually says in the actual context. He doesn't want to do that. Now, I'm going to tell you that that is a technique of cults and false teachers and brainwashed people. When you ask a question, you say, what does this text right here say? And they refuse to look at it but go someplace else. What they're doing is trying to get a different context, a different place, in order to make a certain text say what they want it to say. And that's an improper way of doing exegesis. So I was patient with him repeatedly and asked him to look at the text, and he didn't want to do that. He wanted to go someplace else. And when I repeatedly asked him, he continued to ignore that, and then he went on, well, okay, time to move on. So this is a common kind of a thing that people want to say, that when Jesus says, all that the Father gives me will come to me, and those who come to me will certainly not cast out, it means only the disciples. But that's not what's going on, because he continues, for I have come down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. This is the will of him who sent me, that all that he's given me, I lose nothing, but raise it up on the last day. Now, if he wants to say that it was just the disciples, Judas was given by the Father to Jesus in the context of being a disciple, an apostle. It doesn't mean that Judas was already saved, because in John 6:63 and 64, Jesus talks and he says that he knows who from the beginning didn't believe and who it was who would betray him. And so that's talking about Judas, who was never a believer to begin with. So if he wants to say that this is only about the apostles, then it can't be the case, because he would lose none. And if he wants to say that it was about the apostles, Judas was given as an apostle, but he was lost. This can't be about the apostles. It has to be about the saved, the elect. And that's why Jesus goes on, for this is the will of my Father, that everyone who beholds the Son, the everyone is not just the apostles. The reason people will hold to this position that they do, which is incorrect, is because they deny God's election and predestination. And they should not deny it, because the Bible teaches it. And the reason, I believe, that they deny that is because of their humanist philosophy that they are imposing upon the text, and they don't like the idea that God is sovereign, and they don't like the idea that God elects, and they don't like the idea that they themselves are not the arbiters of ultimate salvation truth when they themselves make the decision, and that's what I believe. We have four open lines. If you want to give me a call, 877-207-2276. Let's get to Jason from Winston-Salem, North Carolina. Jason, you're on the air.
Hey, Matt, the question I have today is the current state of Israel, or country of Israel. Are we confident that these are the actual descendants from the 12 tribes of Israel? Or is it possible that they are what some people tell me are a counterfeit and not necessarily directly from
who?
12 tribes?
Who would say they're counterfeit? What group says that?
Well, a couple different groups. Some are consider themselves Christians.
What groups?
They kind of have it's almost a hybrid from what I can tell. What's the name of the group? There's no specific name that I'm aware of.
Black Hebrew Israel? No.
I'm sorry?
Black Hebrew Israelites. How about them? That one of the groups that? No, it doesn't matter.
That would be one.
Yeah.
That would be one that I've heard.
It's a cult.
Another would be actually. But I don't know if I'm sure there's more, but I do know
there
the
are.
Black Israel Hebrew. Yeah.
Right.
So what would you say to that?
I'd say that the Jews themselves know if they are the descendants of the 12 tribes. You see, the Jews are the ones who would keep their own genealogical records and traditions down through the centuries. They would be the ones who know. And so when a group comes along later and says, no, you're not, what gives them the right to say what Jew who was born along Jewish lines has kept their records, their knowledge of what tribe they may be from, etc.? How do they, where do they get off saying that the Jews are wrong? The groups that hold to this kind of thing are cultic. Right? They're just cultic.
And I agree with that. I wanted your opinion on it. Is since they have, you know, like you said, the bloodline has been pretty pure from what I understand from the beginning to now. Mm-hmm.
Is
that basically what you said?
Yeah, they would know. And besides, let's just say that God, that some of the Jews didn't know exactly what lineage they were in, for whatever reason. God certainly would know. And God has prophesied the gathering of Israel and his people and the nation, and he's prophesied the 12 tribes and things like this. So either way, it's going to work. What the BHI, Black Hebrew Israelite groups, and other groups do, is they come in and they usurp the authority that belongs elsewhere, and they say that they are the true Jews and that all the other Jews are imposters, and that they are the ones who will have the truth. And some BHI will even go so far as to say that white people are automatically damned because they're white, because they're the devil. So there are extremes within that movement, but not a hold to that.
One of the individuals that I spoke with was saying that, you know, the current state of Israel is controlled by the cabal, which I'm sure you're familiar with.
Yeah, just ask him to show the documentation for that. People will say all kinds of things. You know, you could have someone say the reptilian Anunnaki from, you know, the outer space are controlling the Israelites. Show us the documentation. You know, people say all kinds of stuff. The cabals. You know, how do you know the cabals doing this? Okay, you have to disprove it. They have to prove it. So where is the information? Okay.
I see. All right. Well, thanks, Matt. I appreciate your time today.
Hey, no problem, man. God bless, buddy. All right. That was Jason from North Carolina. Why don't we get on the phones with Herb, or Herb, I should say, Herb. Herb from Charlotte, North Carolina. Herb, welcome. You're on the air. Are you there?
I can barely hear you.
Okay, I hear you. And maybe the connection was bad, but... Okay.
Well,
all right.
What is your definition of a charismatic, and what is your opinion of a charismatic Christian?
Well, a charismatic gift comes from the Greek charisma. It's empowered by the Holy Spirit. There are charismatic gifts listed in 1 Corinthians 12, Romans 12, 1 Corinthians 14, speaking in tongues, word of knowledge, word of wisdom, prophecy, healings, things like that. And eternal life is also a charismata, believe it or not. In Romans 6:23, the free gift of God's eternal life. Whoops, we lost them. And that word there is charismata. No problem there. Anyway, we have three open lines. Give me a call. 877-207-2276. We'll be right back, folks.
Matt Slick Live, taking your calls at 877-207-2276. Here's Matt Slick.
All right, everybody, welcome back to the show. Let's get on the air with Richard from Stanley, North Carolina. Richard, welcome. You're on the air.
Yes. Thanks for taking my call. And on Daniel chapter 8, Daniel chapter 8, where it talks about the evening and morning sacrifices, and there's 2,300 days, I think it is, before they're restored or something. I remember something about it, and I was wanting to see what you think that is, the 2,300 days.
That specific thing,
I'm not familiar with. Some people say a half of it to what, sir?
Yeah, I'm not familiar with that particular thing, but what it's dealing with, it's a detailed prophecy of the Babylonian, Medo-Persian, Greek, Roman Empire progression. And there's going to be a period of time when the sacrifices, probably, Antiochus, some say, was the one who stopped the sacrifice, claimed to be God, and there's a period of time, 2300 days, which I'm not exactly sure what that is. But 2300.
Yeah, some people say that it's because it says evening and morning sacrifice. Mm-hmm. It takes two to make a day, and they say it's 1150 actual days. But the Bible says 2300, and so that's the reason why I was asking about it.
Yeah, and it could be evening and day in the Genesis is one day. So
yeah.
Evening and morning and stuff like that. So, it would be something worth discussing and studying, but, it's a prophetic issue of the Medo-Persian Greek Empire rising through Alexander the Great and the oppression that followed with it and through it. I know that is the case there.
Yes.
And there's some detailed stuff that people have gone through history about this stuff. But
and they use it sometimes to form their own, prophecies or whatever. Mm-hmm. And that's when I was just curious to know what your comments were. Okay, then. Well, thank you very much. You have a good
day. And then, if it's 1150 days, here's one of the things to think about, because the year was not 365 days as we have. It was 360.
Yeah.
That's what they were using
back
then. And there's a really interesting theory about why it's changed. But that would be, just over 3 years. So some think it might be representative of the tribulation period, first half. There's theories all over the place.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I just want to know what your take was on it. And thank you for taking my call. You have a great day.
You too, man. God bless. All right. Let's go to the phones with, Michael from Raleigh, North Carolina. Michael, welcome. You are on the air.
Hi.
Can you hear me? Yes, I can.
I had on the radio too. So my question was: I understand that the elect in Calvinism are drawn to accept Jesus as their Savior, but I had a question of: would the non-elect? Is it possible for a non-elect person to also be drawn and then to think they're saved, but not actually be?
That's a good question. Can the unelect be drawn? It would depend on how we were to define draw. Because it says here in John 6:44, Jesus says, "No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him." And so that word is elkuo in the Greek. And, to draw, to... not necessarily with force, but it can be also to drag. So there's an element of pressure there or action that it's not just a drawing, like a wooing. Hey, come on over here. It's stronger than that. So Jesus says, no one can come to me unless the Father draws him. So does he draw all people? Well, there's a sense in which he does, because in John 12:32, Jesus says, if he's lifted up from the earth, he will draw all men to himself. And that's John 12:32. Let me go check it out. It's been a long time since I quoted that one. Make sure I'm getting the verse right. And and the word right there, draw, is the same word. So then we get into the issue is, who's the all? Because we could say the all means every individual. Okay, that's interesting, because we could make a case for that. But we could also make the case that the all is a limited group. And I can make that case. It's not, I'm trying to read into the text, it's how the word all is used by God in reference to salvation. And he references it in limited senses. It's really kind of interesting. John, in Romans 5:17, 18, and 19 talks about this, as it does 2 Corinthians 5:14 and some other stuff. And so, the reason I'm telling you this is because it's a good question, and I'm not sure how to answer it because of how we can understand that word draw. In one sense, I would say you can't come to Christ unless you're specifically drawn, and the all is only the elect. But in another sense, he can draw everybody, but he doesn't grant everybody come to him. So, and then there's ramifications of both positions. Make sense?
Yeah. I guess just the reason I'm asking is because I haven't really made up my mind on whether or not I think Calvinism is the correct like interpretation of the Bible, but my fear, if it was true, was what if somebody like was interested in being saved, but it wasn't for them, and it just it kind of like then, is a fearful thought.
Yeah. Well, what we say generally in that case is that if you want to be saved, it's because God is working on you, because the unbeliever is a slave of sin, doesn't seek for God, etc. So if he's if that's happening, it's because he's being drawn by God. And so it makes perfect sense inside the Reformed camp to say, yeah, the reason they're interested in that is because God's drawing them. Now, it does get interesting when we talk about can they be drawn and not saved. Because in one sense, God says in 2 Peter 3:9, he wants all to be saved. But yet, in Mark 4:10-12, Jesus speaks in parables so that not all will be saved. And so there's a tension here. And when I'm talking, when people ask questions like this, and your question's a good question, and then I'll say, well, here's a view and here's a view, and each view has ramifications to it. I'm not trying to dismiss or obfuscate. It's just that we don't have time to go into the nuances of different positions and show how they interrelate and what the related issues to the scriptures are as they're presented to them. Because your question is one of those. It's just a great question. It's not easy to answer very quickly. And I've taught on things like this for an hour at a time, and then the conclusion is you can hold to this position or that position. There's strengths and weaknesses with both. Because the Bible isn't super clear on it. So he says, John 12:32, I'll draw all men to myself. Does that all mean every individual who ever lived? It can't, because we know Judas was given by the Father to the Son as an apostle, but he was an unbeliever from the beginning. And Jesus speaks in parables so people will not be saved. And Romans 9:22 or 9-23 talks about people prepared by God for destruction. So what does it mean to draw all people? How do we relate the all to that? And then we know that it says in Romans 5:18 that the result of justification of life to all men. Well, justification means you're saved. Well, how do you have all people be saved? You can't, because the Bible obviously says not all were saved. So who's the all in the group of that all men are justified? It can only be a limited group. Well, is that a fair thing to say? Yes, it is. And I can show you the verses for that. So you see, it's a toughie. It's a great question, though. It is. All right, man?
Okay, well, thank you. Yeah, all it's right. Something to definitely look into.
Yes, it is. We got a break.
I appreciate you giving me verses to look into.
Hey, no problem. Hey, folks, we'll be right back after these messages. Thanks a lot, Michael.
It's Matt Slick Live, taking your calls at 877-207-2276. Here's Matt Slick.
Okay, everybody, welcome back to the show. John from Georgia. We lost that. He had a question about inheriting the sin of Adam. That is a great question. Hope he calls back and we can talk about it. Let's get to OJ from Miami, whom we just lost. Must you repent to be saved? I hope we're not having connection problems. Let's see. Harry from Salt Lake City. Harry, welcome. You're on the air.
Hello, Matt. How are you doing?
I'm doing fine. How are you doing?
Doing well. So my question is kind of similar to the one of the callers that dropped. Got into this rather heated discussion at church last Sunday about babies. Are they born in sin? Do they carry the sin of Adam? Was God wrong in judging during the flood and the land of Canaan for having the babies killed? Or
There's several questions
there. Just like
some
good verses on that.
There's several questions. So let me go to Romans 5:19. And I'm going to go to Romans 5:18-19. I'm going to go through this and teach right out of the scripture. This is what it says. So then, as through one transgression, that's the sin of Adam, there resulted condemnation to all men. Now some say, well, that just resulted because they became sinners. Okay, well, that's one view. I don't believe that, but it's okay. They can say that. And it goes on. Even so, through one act of righteousness, there resulted justification of life to all men. Okay, well, that's interesting stuff. I could go into that quite a bit, but I'm not. Verse 19, for as through the one man's disobedience, now that's obviously Adam's sin. It says, for as through the one man's disobedience, the many were made sinners. Now, were made sinners is the aorist passive indicative. Aorist, generally in the Greek, means past tense. There's different kinds, but it means, for the most part, past tense. They were made sinners. And the passive means that it happened to them. They received the action. So through Adam's sin, the many were made sinners. In other words, as Adam sinned, people in him were made sinners by his sin. Now people can say, well, I don't like that. Well, okay, don't like it. Cross it out of your Bible, but that's what it says right there. So there's a doctrine called federal headship, and federal headship is the teaching that the male represents the descendants, not the female. In Adam, all die. That's 1 Corinthians 15:22. So in Adam, all die. In Adam is a term of federal headship. He represented all people, and so all people in him died. That means babies too. So, they were made sinners, babies as well as, well, they're all babies, you know, you're born, okay, were made sinners. And that's how it is. They didn't become sinners by doing sin, because that's the error of Pelagianism. It's condemned by every council in history, and it is a false doctrine. So, yes, babies are that. They're made sinners. And Ephesians 2:3 says, we are by nature children of wrath. So, clearly, we're born sinful, born with fallen natures, and that babies are included, okay?
Okay. Yeah, that's what I thought, that's what I've always believed. Mm-hmm. I just wanted some good scriptures to study with them and hopefully come to a peaceful conclusion rather than just saying
that. Right. Have them call the show, but I want to tell you a little bit of something else, because they may say, well, we don't like that or don't agree with that. Now, I want to show you something. In 1 Corinthians 15:45, it says, the first man, Adam, became a living soul. The last Adam became a life-giving spirit. The last Adam is Jesus. He's not the second Adam, but the last Adam. The first Adam was Adam. That the last Adam is said to be is Jesus. Now, this is interesting, because what it's saying here, as it says, I've already quoted 1 Corinthians 15:22, in Adam all die, in Christ all shall be made alive. That second all can only be a limited group. So, if they're to say they reject the idea of Adam representing everybody, and therefore babies are not sinners because he didn't represent them, then they must be consistent and reject the last Adam's representative work also. In other words, they have to reject the representative work of Christ. Because if babies, and I had a son, my wife and I had a son who died in our arms right after he was born. Now, I will see him in heaven, I believe that. And so, he had a birth defect, that's why, folks. And so, he had this death that occurred to him. Well, you don't die if sin is not upon you. You can't die because there is no sin upon you. Yet he had this effect of sin upon him in a birth defect. And that's a manifestation of sin. And so Adam represented all people, but Jesus represented his people. That's why it's called the first and last Adam. So if they're going to reject the idea that the first Adam represented everybody and babies too, then they have to reject the idea that the last Adam, Jesus, represented everybody and babies too as well. Otherwise, we have a major problem. Okay?
That's great. That's great. Because like I asked her, you know, was God unjust into all the babies that died in the flood?
Well,
and if they are innocent and born without sin, then that was an unjust act. And I fully believe that babies are in heaven. I fully believe that every soul in heaven is there by the grace and mercy of God. Outside of the grace and mercy of God, no one gets into heaven.
Amen.
And I was just looking for the scripture to back that up.
There you go, buddy.
Thank you.
All right. Well, God bless, Harry. Okay. Oh, God bless. Sorry about that. That was Harry in Salt Lake City. We have two open lines. Give me a call. 877-207-2276. Chuck from Burlington, North Carolina. Welcome. You're on the air.
Yes, sir, Matt. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
I was calling about a question about State of the Nation, and I'm really curious. I want to say something, if I could. You know, the military, they're weeding out white conservative Christians, I guess, and probably they'll do that with the police department. And it could be that the government's got this plan, you know, in the way in the back of their mind, they're not stupid, that they're going to take over the country somehow and take away everybody's guns, and we're going to have some kind of an armed conflict, you know? I mean, the people are going to die.
So what's your question? What's your question?
Well, what my question is, what is your opinion on the state of the nation? Do you think it's something like that? Possibly.
Literally, right before the show, and during some of the times during the break, I work on articles on the website. What I literally am working on today is a listing of information dealing with the condition of our state, of the state of our nation. And so it's kind of interesting that you're saying this, because I literally am working on it. And I plan to write about it a lot more. And our country is in a great deal of distress. And
yes, it is.
And the communists in 1963 listed out the things that they wanted to have happen to America in order to take it over and cause it to fall. And the rise of homosexuality, the increase of abortion, the acceptance of socialism, the rejection of our own history, attack on the Constitution, to control the schools and get liberal thought, to control the media and get liberal thought. These were all listed out by the communists on what to do in order to take us over. And so not only that, we have the attack on Christianity, we have the attack on integrity, we have hypocrisy in a ruling oligarchy, we have a techno-oligarchy that is censoring truth, does not allow dissenting opinions on varying topics. So we have a degradation of truth, a degradation of integrity, and there are talks. I've heard to people locally and in other areas, there's talk of a revolution to come, as people are armed and are sick and tired of what's happening in the Capitol. And, you know, for these morons to say things like January 6th was the worst day since the Civil War is ludicrous insanity. And I'll be writing about this and gathering information. I literally am looking on my screen right now, and I'm going to be doing research on what the government says is necessary, what their steps are taking for counterterrorism, and who are the terrorists. Terrorists are conservatives, largely.
Yeah.
They believe in the Constitution. We've got all kinds of stuff, and I've got information, and the problem we're having in our country is multifaceted. The schools have been taken over, and the media has been taken over. Now, there are beacons of light in light of this. Let me say this, and we'll get back after the break. I recommend everybody go and get the Conservative News Pro app. A Conservative News Pro app. I use it on Android, and I really recommend it. We'll talk more after the break. Please stay tuned, folks. We'll be right back after these messages.
It's Matt Slick Live, taking your calls at 877-207-2276. Here's Matt Slick.
Welcome back to the show, everyone. Let's get back to Chuck. Are you still there?
Yes, sir, Matt.
All right. Okay, so, where were we? We had a little bit talking about that stuff.
About possible armed and, you know, citizens fighting with the government. But I hope the police don't turn on us. they're just a bunch of old rednecks like we are, you know?
Well, there's actually been a study done by the government. If there's a civil war, who will win and how long it'll take? And in every scenario, the government loses. Every one of them.
Wow.
And the reason is because the armed population in America, there are enough conservatives to rise up and say, we've had enough of this. And the police, usually, normally, is conservative, as is the military. They're not going to fire on their own people. And I'm not advocating this. I don't want this to happen because it's
I'm not going to fire on anybody.
I would only do that in self-defense if I had to in my own home. But I don't want an armed rebellion and things like this. But I'll tell you, I believe, in my opinion, a lot of the people in Washington D.C. are guilty of treason.
So do I. They hate the people that voted for Trump.
Yep.
They hate their guts,
mm-hmm.
and they got no use for them. They could care less if they were all dead. It's terrible what the taste of power does to somebody.
Mm-hmm.
You know, awful.
That's right. Yeah. And I recommend that people read the Declaration of Independence. Go look it up and read it. Mm-hmm. And we have to decide how far are we going to go and let the ungodliness of an atheistic, socialistic, Marxist regime continue. I've been studying this now for quite a while. I'm going to tell you, the
mm-hmm.
way the Marxists
right.
take over, the way they do this in a country, in their minority, they can take over. But what they have to do is set the population against itself. So racism, white supremacy, BLM, all of this is part and parcel to the practice of setting people against each other, so that if there's an internal physical conflict in rioting and problem where it just expands all over, then the people who have been waiting for this can rise up and take control. This is how it works in history. And so another problem is the youth, millennials, the majority of them would vote for socialism. They have no idea of the terror and the failure that it brings. And I was just chatting with a guy who said communism is better than capitalism. This was just a few days ago. And I said, well, how many people did communism kill in the 1900s? And he didn't want to answer the question. It's over 100 million. So what needs to happen is the church first needs to repent. And I'm going to be writing about that. And we need to be voting and petitioning and calling and emailing and rising up. We need to raise up kids and adults to fight back by becoming professors, by getting in the news media, by becoming teachers. And you'll find that the teachers are, in my opinion, the majority of them, well, I can't say the majority, I haven't studied the statistics on that, but thousands and thousands in teaching unions want to promote critical race theory, which is anti-white, which is racist, which is causes division. They want it taught. What is wrong with people?
Yeah, they want us to hate each other.
They hate America.
They want us to hate each other.
They hate America. They've been brainwashed.
Yeah.
And if America is so bad and socialism is so good, why are people fleeing socialist countries and coming here? So.
Right.
You know.
Yeah. One other thing, Matt. You know, what I was talking about when I would buy a gun, if my wife didn't leave me, if I did. But I would buy a gun. I picture this: some guy standing out in the road with a Molotov cocktail, ready to throw it through the window of my house. Now I'll protect my house that way.
Yes.
You know, like I said, we're not going to shoot any. I'm not going to shoot any police officer, military, or you know, we're not going to do that. We're not going to, you know. Murder our own.
Right,
people.
We don't do that. No.
Just protect. Right. Just protect.
That's right.
Yep.
Self-protection is right. There's another article I've got to finish up. I've done research, and it's called the principle of the lesser magistrates. And it's a biblical position that we are not to follow the state when the state asks us to do that which is contrary to Scripture. We are not to support abortion or homosexuality as Christians. And right. You know, those are just two examples. We're not to support socialism. Socialism is not biblical. And
I remember, Matt, when in the schools, the saying was, you know, a long time ago, I'm 69, if, and you might remember it too, the government governs best, governs least.
Uh-huh.
And that the founders believed, knew that man was sinful. And that's what they taught in the school, you know?
That's right.
That's what they said.
That's right, yep. Because
goodness
it is sinful.
Goodness gracious, how far we've fallen.
That's right.
Lord, what we need more than anything else is a revival, right?
Millions we need a revival. I'll be writing about this, and we'll be, more stuff. All right, buddy, we've got callers waiting, so we're going to get to them, okay?
Thanks for your ministry, Matt. Take
all right,
care.
God bless. God bless. All right. All right, let's get to Courtney from Ohio. Hey, Courtney, welcome. You're on the air.
Hey, how are you?
I'm fine. How are you?
All right. Okay, so here's my question.
All right.
I know you are very good at, you know, Greek and Hebrew and have commentaries
no.
and all that stuff.
I'm not good at Hebrew, and I've only had, I can barely survive in Hebrew, and I've had Greek 4.5 years. I'm quite rusty at it, but nevertheless, I know the tools to be able to get stuff, so okay.
Well, you have good tools. Okay.
I have great
tools.
So, yes.
I've been reading Jeremiah 29, where there were prophets that were coming to the people and telling them that their time there in Babylon was going to be short, and they were prophesying, of course, incorrectly to them. So, when I look at, I've looked at different commentaries and different translations, and I just don't know which one's right, because some say that it's they, some say, I'm looking specifically at verse 8, 29:8, where it says, you know, that the dreams that you caused to be dreamed, is it supposed to be like that? Is it supposed to be you caused? Some say it's supposed to say they. Some say it shouldn't say cause. I'm like, okay, which one's right?
Well, what it literally says, what my Bible program is saying, is literally says your dreams. So I don't know if that was what you're looking for. And your dreams, which you dream. That's what it says. That's what it says is literal.
So what is your type of, is that a translation or a commentary that you're looking at?
That's the NESB, which is attempting to be as literal as possible. So if I go look at the interlinear, which is kind of like a cheat sheet, which I use... I use interlinears a lot. And let's see, where does it say? Your dream. The dreams, and there we go. And, okay. So, feminine plural is the word there, dreams, the dreams to which, look at the interlinear, which they dream, which they is implied, to dreams which dream. Okay, so I'm not going to make any comment on it because I'd have to study it in depth more. But anyway, I'm not sure what the issue was with that. But anyway, but it got me looking.
it can be tough when you're like, okay, well, there's like five different things, as you know, different ways. It sounds to me like, but the main thing was that they were telling them wrong. They were telling the people wrong. If I just Is that a good way to understand that, what was happening there?
Yes. Yeah, now, actually, you know, what I can do is look at the Greek, because it's Septuagint, and it looks like it's saying they dream, the dreams of them. It looks like that is correct. So that's what the Septuagint translation says, which was done by the Jews about 200 B.C., okay?
So, meaning the Jews were dreaming, and then the people prophesying to them wrong.
You
want to
know who was doing that. Do not let your prophets who are in your midst and your diviners deceive you, and do not listen to the dreams which they dream. I see what you're getting at now. So, literally, your dreams which you do not listen to your dreams which you dream. He's probably talking in a sense of your dreams, these false prophets, inside the group of you, and don't listen to them. So, in other versions, it says, the diviners are among you, do not listen, ESV, to the dreams that they dream. The King James, dreams which ye cause to be dreamed. The RSV, listen to the dreams which they dream. The LEV, listen to your dreams that you are causing them to dream. So, it's a tough one. Yeah. Hebrews like that. Sometimes Hebrews like that. Yeah, it can be difficult. So I'm not sure what to tell you because I'm not a Hebrew scholar. So, okay?
Well, thanks for taking a stab at it. All right, thanks.
Okay, you're welcome. God bless. All right, let's get to Roger from North Carolina. Roger, welcome. You're on the air.
Matt, how you doing?
Doing all right. Hanging in there, buddy. What do you got, man?
Revelation 22:15. It mentions the dogs outside the gate.
Mm-hmm.
I do a little bit of street evangelism here, and a guy asked me about them dogs last weekend. I never contemplated this question until he posed it to me, but he wanted to know what the dogs were and why they weren't in the lake of fire yet. He was already a believer. This was a question that was bothering him. I told him I just took the dogs as being unsaved people, undesirable.
Yes.
And that the reason in 22:15 it wasn't showing them in the lake of fire is because not all of Revelation is necessarily in chronological order. But I told him I would try this week to get him an answer. So I'm calling you.
I think your answer was great. Dogs is another term for Gentiles. Yes, in Psalm 22, it says it's a prophecy of the crucifixion. It says dogs have surrounded me, evildoers have encompassed me. The word dog was a derogatory term for Gentiles, outside of the dogs and the sorcerers, immoral persons. You talk about the unbelievers, and you're right. A revelation is not necessarily in chronological order. It could be heptatic, and it's typological, and then the judgment into the lake of fire hasn't occurred yet. They're outside the gates of the city, and so it could be said they're outside the place of salvation. They're lost, and so when people look at this, you can't go, well, if it's literal, they're outside, they're not in the lake of fire. So literal dogs? No. So that's what's going on there. Okay.
Okay. Can I ask one more fast question?
Well, tell you what, we got somebody waiting. Well, let me get to them, okay? And call back Monday, all right?
All right, that's cool. I'll call back Monday. That's fine. Thank you.
All right. Good. Let's get to Jason from Virginia. We only have about less than a minute. What do you got, man?
Oh, no. I called back at the... I was on with you at the end of the call.
I remember he called because he has some good questions, just some good stuff, but we're out of time. We can't get into it. So, gonna call back Monday a little earlier, man, because we're done here.
I'll try. Okay. I think I can get you on Monday.
All right, sounds good, buddy. All right, well, God bless.
Take care, Matt.
Okay. All right, we'll see you.
All right, bye.
All right. Hey, folks, that's the end of the show. We've got about 20 seconds left, and I hope you have a great weekend. Remember to go to church, to pray, tithe, do all that stuff, intercede for others, study your word, believe the word of God, and pray for our nation, because I'm telling you, we certainly need to. Our country is in real distress. I know some stuff I haven't talked about yet. It really is in distress, folks. And we need to pray for our country. And we start with the church and our country. They both need repentance and strengthening in righteousness. I hope you all have a great weekend. May the Lord bless you. And by His grace, we'll be back on the air on Monday. We'll talk to you then. See you. God bless. Bye.
Another program powered by the Truth Network.